Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm really pleased to welcome LinkedIn expert and fellow introvert entrepreneur Vivica Von Rosen to part two of this special two-part podcast focusing on LinkedIn. During the first part, we covered the LinkedIn fundamentals. In this podcast, Vivica shares some more advanced techniques to grow your network and, by extension, your professional presence online. Vivica is a successful entrepreneur, nationally renowned IA-certified LinkedIn trainer and expert, and a respected social media speaker. Her extensive sales and marketing background includes a specialization in helping her clients use social media marketing techniques to increase their business exposure. Hi, Vivica. Welcome back. This is part two of our LinkedIn discussion, and I'm really glad to have you here today.
I'm glad to be back. There's just so much more to talk about.
There is. This is a very rich topic. So, and your expertise is tremendous. So thank you for being generous with your time and energy with us today. So, you know, we talked a little bit about in that first episode about what are some of the essentials in a profile, and emphasizing the keywords and making sure that you're talking about the benefit of our features and getting your profile to 100%. So once you've done that, what makes a profile stand out?
You know, formatting is something that LinkedIn's pretty limited with. And yet, like in the summary section, if you create your summary and I actually recommend people create their entire profile in a Word document first. That's kind of my ninja trick for various reasons. First of all, spell check, grammar check. But you can also do a little bit of formatting. You can use bullets, which you can then cut and paste over. You can't use bold or italics. That won't translate over. But you can capitalize what you want the eye drawn to. And so I recommend throughout your profile, you know, capitalize those bullets that you want the eye drawn to as people are looking through your profile. No one's going to read your entire profile, I mean, unless they're really, really bored. Like, I think my profile is 60 pages long.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, now, mind you, this is over 4 years, so don't go out and think you're going to have to create a 60-page profile, and also at least 30 of those pages are recommendations. So, you know, don't worry about that. But go through the different elements, the experience section, the education section, the summary section, down at the bottom, the contact section. Go through and really fill those out and format them in such a way that at least if someone's breezing through your entire profile, their eyes are drawn to that capitalization. And this is a good place to tell you that in both your experience section and your education section, you get 1,000 characters to describe, you know, not only what you did for that company, but why someone might want to hire you because of your experience at that company. So most people only have one or two lines, you know, because they've uploaded their resume, but in fact you actually have 1,000 characters there, not only to put in keywords, but really to make an engaging story. There's a new term being bandied about called your social story. And so those are some of the areas that you can tell your social story and hopefully entice potential clients to actually reach out and contact you. So that would be my first suggestion is use the fields that you have. And, of course, LinkedIn doesn't tell you how much space you have, and the fields they give you are teeny tiny. So create it first in a Word document. You get 200 or 120 characters for your headline section. Your titles are 100 characters. Your description sections are 1,000 characters. Your summary section is 2,000 characters. Your contact me section is, I think, 1,000 characters. And if you want to create a company profile, that's 2,000 characters as well. So you have a lot more to work with than LinkedIn allows you. And most of you already have a lot of this content developed because you created it for your websites or you created it for your brochures. You know, so just repurpose that. You created it for your white sheets or your one sheets. So go ahead and just use that information again. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. And what I'm hearing is, you know, take advantage of all that space that they are granting you. I bet there's a lot of underutilization out there.
Definitely.
Can anybody view a
profile, like a complete profile?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, no, that's a fantastic question. So one of my issues with social media is that the default seems to be show everybody everything. Mm-hmm. And that's especially, I mean, on Twitter it's just kind of a given, but on LinkedIn and on Facebook, I think they both reveal far too much. And so this kind of goes against my open networker stance, especially on Facebook. But on LinkedIn, if you edit your public profile, so there's a little area underneath websites and your Twitter name, that's your public profile. And it reads linkedin.com/pub/firstname-last-name-number-letter-number-letter, which A, isn't very useful. So the first thing you're going to do is edit that and put your name in there. A little box is going to actually open up. So then it'll be linkedin.com/in/ well, I use LinkedIn expert, but, you know, Vivica Von Rosen. You know, Beth Beulah, whatever you can put in there. If your name's already taken, if you're John Smith, then you'll have to use a middle initial or a number or something. And then if you just scroll down when you're in that edit area, if you scroll down just a little bit more, you'll notice that LinkedIn has checked off everything and has made your profile visible to anyone who has access to the Internet. So this isn't your profile visibility within LinkedIn. This is literally 1.5 billion people can get this information about you. And quite frankly, if you're giving them where you went to school in details, where you worked in details, you know, what your interests are in details, you're giving them the ammo they need to steal your identity, quite frankly, in my opinion. So I recommend you actually hide more information about yourself. Just show your name, show your headline, show your summary section, but uncheck everything else off. And this is terrifying to me because no one says this anywhere. So most people on LinkedIn, their profiles on Google are completely visible. Now, having said that, if you turn off those sections, leave your summary section, leave your headline section, leave your picture, leave your websites, but turn off the other ones. But do understand that only people within your network are going to be able to see that information about you. Otherwise, it's just going to be your title at your company.
So there's not an in-between of, if I'm a member of LinkedIn but I'm not in your network, I'm still going to see that public profile that would be very limited if I've taken those precautions to, you know, hide certain things.
Right. You'll see a lot of people put their name, their phone number, their email address in the headline section. I don't think that's necessarily the best place. But what does happen is if you do have that information there and someone's outside of your network, at least they can get in contact with you.
Sure.
So, you know, if someone's trying to hire you and you have a basic LinkedIn profile and none of that contact information anywhere, they're going to have to pay money, essentially, to contact you. So it's very limiting.
Does having a paid LinkedIn account give you access to any more information than a free account?
Yeah, it does, actually. It allows you to see more information of the people that you're searching if they're outside of your network. And it gives you at least three in-mails, which, like I said before, is LinkedIn's FedEx. So you used to be able to pay, and I haven't seen that option lately, but you used to be able to pay $9.95 to send someone a message outside of your network. Actually, outside of your first level of connections, never mind your network. And so you get three of those, woohoo, whopping three, with your paid account. You also get 15 introductions instead of 5. So it's better than nothing. But we're going to talk about a little bit later about groups and why I absolutely love groups on LinkedIn. And one of the reasons is groups allows you to connect with people outside of your network, or just even second level and third tier or third level folks, which you cannot do unless you're paying for it.
Yeah, that's a great segue to, you know, how do you use LinkedIn to be top of mind? And I know that you've mentioned before that groups is one of those tools. So can you tell us more about that?
Sure. And I liken groups to like a blog within LinkedIn. I mean, if you were going to say, well, what are groups? Well, groups are a way for you to share information with, you know, tribes of people who have the same interest as you do. And there are, I can't remember at last count, I think there's 300,000 or 400,000 groups on LinkedIn, so chances are there's a group for you. And you can actually join up to 50, and there are various different reasons to join a group. The first reason is join a group of you know, people within your own industry. And so, you know, for me, I would join LinkedIn groups or Twitter groups or Facebook groups or social media marketing groups or inbound marketing groups, because those are people within my industry, and I can, A, learn from them, and I can, B, maybe create partnerships with them, and I can share my information with them. And while a lot of those folks might be my competitors, they might also be partners. So the first type of group you join are folks within your own industry. And the second type of group you're going to join are your ideal clients. So I've been working with a lot of lawyers recently. I have no idea why, but that's where people, you know, that's where the juice is, so that's where I'm going. So I have joined, you know, the ADA group and other law groups out there, because that's where my ideal client is. Also, I've joined some entrepreneur groups and business-to-business groups, because those are my ideal clients. And so if anyone's ever asking a question within a group about inbound marketing or about social media marketing or about LinkedIn, I become, you know, I become the thought leader in that. I can answer that question for them. And then the third type of group you might want to join are just alumni groups, either work alumni or school alumni, because theoretically alumni like to help each other out. So, you know, there's a nice area for warm leads. And then the fourth type of group you want to join are just really big groups. One really big group out there is called Linked HR. It's one word, LinkedHR. And it has 300,000 members in it.
Wow.
And so by joining Linked HR, and by the way, they don't turn anyone down. So by joining Linked HR, I think it's the biggest group on LinkedIn. By joining Linked HR, I can now send a message, not a paid in-mail, not ask for an introduction, but I can send a message to anyone in that group. And so, you know, by joining enough strategic and big groups, you really elevate your ability to communicate within LinkedIn. And so groups to me are my favorite tool. The other thing is you can kind of reverse engineer. If you find the profile within your network of someone you want to connect with, but your only option is, you know, sending them an in-mail or asking someone to introduce you to them, just scroll to the bottom of their screen and see if they belong to a group. And if they belong to a group, join the group instead. And within a couple days, you know, suddenly that send an in-mail next to their name turns into send a message, which is free. So what groups do is they make other group members almost like a first tier to you. Almost like a first level connection.
So groups are almost like a loophole to
the
whole.
Groups are the loophole
to the whole communication thing.
But they are also one of the very, very best places where you can start building relationships. Because the other thing you can do in groups now is follow people, just like on Twitter. So you might not even, you might not even be connected with them, but you can follow them and see their thought stream. And if this is a potential client, and you're following them, and you see their updates, and you see the questions they answer, and you see the information that they post on groups, you can get a really, you know, it's kind of like stream of consciousness, but you can get a really good idea of who and what that person is. So when you do reach out to them, you're more comfortable doing so. So a very, very powerful strategy for an introvert is to follow people in groups.
Yeah, and you've given me a real aha moment, because I think on social media and in real life, sometimes networking, I'm really wonderful in networking with my peers,
right,
other coaches and other, you know, entrepreneurs. Networking with ideal clients is still a little bit of a mystery sometimes. And so your suggestion to, yes, connect with people in your industry and then take that and say, okay, so who are my ideal clients and what groups, where are they hanging out?
Yeah.
And make sure that you start hanging out with them and being part of the conversation. It's sometimes challenging in quote-unquote real life. So in virtual life, you know, especially as introverts, we can leverage that, you know, look before we leap and take a, you know, scan it and say, okay, so where are these people hanging out and where am I going to fit in and have the most potential for meaningful connection and contribution?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
Well, one of the things you mentioned in our very first episode was lions and lambs. And I wonder if you could expand on that a little bit, because this is where you're really getting into how are you strategically growing your network.
Absolutely. So, once again, a lion is a LinkedIn open networker. And the best way to describe us is we just say yes. The Miami Herald wrote an article on me once, way back when, called The Promiscuous Networker, because I always say yes on LinkedIn. And so that's us. We say yes because we know that we don't know who we don't know. And so I know that there is someone in somebody's network that's going to be my next client. I know that for a fact. I just don't know who that person is. And so it would behoove me to invite or to accept as many invitations as possible to grow out my network so that I actually get access to that person that I don't yet know. And so that's kind of the lion strategy. Once again, we're not lions because we send a lot of, you know, annoying sales messages to as many people as possible. There are a few people who do that, but mostly that's not what we do. Mostly we're doing it just to expand our network, just to make that lake bigger, just to make that fishing pool bigger. And then there's the lamb, which is the look at my buds, or the strategic networker, and those are the folks who do what LinkedIn tells them to, which is only connect to people they know. And as I mentioned in the first interview, that's okay, but it's going to limit you, and it's going to limit your ability to connect with the people that you need to connect to. The best is probably somewhere in between. Like, I've got a little over 11,000, or maybe it's 12,000 now, first-level connections. So, but this is what I do for a living. I would not expect anyone else listening to this call to have 12,000 first-level connections. I only know maybe 1% of those folks. Mm-hmm. You probably want to have somewhere between 200 and 500 connections, and then first-level connections, and that then will grow your network out to about 10 million people. So you can keep your first level fairly strategic as long as your entire network is more open. And, you know, one of the ways you can do that, there's a website called toplinked.com. And the top 50 people on LinkedIn are listed there. So you can literally go to toplinked.com, the top 50 list. Now, this is going to seem weird, but I'm going to tell you to invite the bottom 25, not the top 25. And the reason for that is LinkedIn is now capped how many connections you can have, which is 30,000. So that top 25 have already hit 30,000. So they're not going to be able to accept your invitation even if you send it. But the bottom 25 will still accept invitations. So they have huge networks. They have, you know, 20,000 first level, several 4 or 5 million second level, and then so you'll get access to their first and second level. Their first and second level become your second and third level. And so just by inviting those bottom 25, and you've only added now 25 people to your network that you don't actually know, you're increasing the size of your network by, you know, 300, 400, 500%. And you can do it very quickly and within a matter of time. Now, the other thing LinkedIn doesn't tell you is you only get 3,000 invitations in a lifetime. And then they give you tools where you can upload your mailing list and invite everyone to connect. And if your mailing list has more than 3,000 people in it, now LinkedIn is completely unusable. Like when I first started using LinkedIn, I had 800 people on my mailing list, and I used that handy tool, click here, select all, click here, send messages. Well, that was almost a third of my lifetime's invitations, so I'm down to my last 1,000.
And so
it's an issue.
Yeah, it it makes me think, I wonder how many I've invited. I have no idea.
and they don't tell you until you, there's no way of really seeing.
It doesn't really track.
No. It'll let you know when you're down to 1,000 because it'll say you have 998 invitations.
Okay. Well, I know I'm nowhere close to that, but I know.
So you're okay.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I think, sometimes I get confused because there will be a list of people and it will say, maybe you know these people, and I think they're already on LinkedIn.
Right.
And they're not.
I know.
Am I right about that? That there's a little ambiguity there. And so I'll invite them and they say, oh, I got your invitation. And I thought, oh, I thought I was just connecting to an already existing profile. I didn't realize I was inviting you to create a profile.
That's, you know, that's the other thing is if you use that add connections list that allows you to upload your Gmail contacts, your Hotmail, your Yahoo, or your AOL, or upload your Outlook list or your Apple Mail list, yeah, it's going to invite all those people. Now, here's a ninja trick. The people who have the little blue in sign next to their name, the little blue in symbol, those people are already on LinkedIn. So go ahead and invite those folks because
sure.
They're likely to say yes. As long as they're not, you know, your ex-fiance or his new girlfriend. But
Whole other story.
So go ahead and invite those folks. Don't invite the folks who don't have that blue sign next to their name because they're not on LinkedIn and they're not likely to be on LinkedIn. And when they are on LinkedIn, let them invite you because you can accept up to 30,000 invitations. You just can't send out more than 3,000. So,
does that invitation include, like, if I invited you to be part of my network?
Mm-hmm.
Since we're both on LinkedIn, that still counts as one of my 3,000 invitations.
It sure does, because we're taking
okay.
me from a second level or a third level to a first level.
First level, okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, no problem. I know, it's not very clear. And by the way, if you do get introduced to someone, like say I wanted you to introduce me to someone in your network, and you get up to five, the free account gives you up to five introductions at a time, which means, you know, if I ask five people to introduce me to five other people and they all do it that day, then I've got five introductions the next day. If they don't do it for 3 months, then I don't get those introductions back for 3 months. So, if I asked you to introduce me to someone and you sent that introduction through, that doesn't mean that I'm actually connected to that end party. It just
okay.
means that now I can send them a message and maybe ask to be introduced or ask to be connected. Or ask if I can send an invitation. So
okay.
just to clarify that, the introduction does not mean that you've actually, spent one of your invitations, but it also means that you're not connected.
Okay, great. So there's invitations and introductions.
Correct.
Two different levels of connecting with people.
Yep, exactly, yep.
As social media has grown, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn in particular, well, and Twitter, people are starting to get into trouble for various things that they're actually using the network to its maximum advantage. You know, they're like really
yes.
using it for what it was there for, and they're getting a little pushback.
Yeah, yeah.
So what can get you in trouble?
You've got to remember, this is not outbound marketing. This is not push your sales message. LinkedIn probably is more than the other two because people kind of expect it. But nonetheless, you are not using LinkedIn like you would a radio or a TV ad where you're just like blasting and hoping something sticks. Social media is about building the relationship. So anyone, and Twitter's probably the worst for it, you know, you too can make $387 a day using Twitter. Well, first of all, that's not a great paycheck, and secondly, no one's going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So using that spammy outbound marketing type material doesn't work, and that's where you get your pushback for sure. So there are people who abuse social media. There's no doubt about it. What I do like about social media, though, is you're kind of guilty until proven innocent. Like, if I sent out a bunch of spammy stuff on Twitter, it's very easy. There's one button where you block and report. So, A, I've been turned off from that particular avenue, but B, you know, LinkedIn or Twitter might turn me off completely. And LinkedIn has the same thing where you can report a profile. So if someone, like I was on Twitter, well, this isn't the other day, it was actually a couple years ago, but I was on Twitter and someone from LinkedIn went on Twitter and wanted to sell their LinkedIn list, which, needless to say, is a huge no-no.
Yeah.
By the time I got to LinkedIn to go to his profile to report him, several people had already done it, and his profile no longer existed. So even though there are definitely people out there abusing social media, we're evangelists, you know. We protect. It's user regulated,
mm-hmm.
even more than it's regulated. Now, and having said that, all the social mediums have regulations. So if you're going to be on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, do read their end user agreements, which is, you know, a small manual for Facebook and LinkedIn, but there you have
mm-hmm.
it. And so let me tell you what I did wrong. So you don't do it. One of the abuses is using the fields that LinkedIn gives you for things other than what they're supposed to be used for. So on LinkedIn, I went to a conference that was on search engine optimization, social media search engine optimization. And the woman who was speaking said that the last name field on LinkedIn has one of the highest Google rankings, period. And so anything you put in that last name field on LinkedIn will get found on Google. So yes, it's true. I mean, so my last name was Von Rosen :// LinkedIn expert and speaker. And sure enough, if you typed in Google within, I think it was a couple days, LinkedIn expert and speaker, I showed up first. So yes, yay, except that it goes against the end user agreement. Last name only in the last name field. And so LinkedIn hid my account. And I have, for the past 2 years, told them, I've screenshots, proof, and they're like, no, there's nothing wrong with your account. But as I mentioned in the first class, as soon as my profile went invisible, I went from getting probably 20 warm leads a week to 4. So don't break those end user agreements on LinkedIn, Twitter, or Facebook. Read that end user agreement. Now, interestingly, I just got into a conversation. We'll call it a conversation with a gentleman who didn't like open networkers. And he said, well, aren't you breaking the end user agreement on LinkedIn for being an open networker? And they've actually taken that clause out. It still says when you send an invitation not to invite anyone you don't know, but they've actually taken the clause out in the end user agreement where that goes against policy because the new CEO gets that that people need to have bigger networks. I love the new CEO. I think he's doing a really, really good job with LinkedIn.
How long has he been in place?
Opening up. A year. He June 17th of last year, and don't ask me his name because I always forget it.
But I'm impressed you know the exact date. That sounds
I know the date. I don't know his name. Isn't that terrible? but he really, he's a young guy. I think he came from Yahoo, if I remember correctly. And he really, really gets that LinkedIn needs to be more of an open platform for communication. And so he brought in, the actual ability to have a groups directory so you could find groups. He brought in the new update, the update section. We haven't even talked about the update section, which is just like Facebook. They copied Facebook. Mm. There's literally a a little like tab, a comment tab, a share tab, and a respond privately tab. So that's cool, and that has really helped people create relationships within their updates, and he made answers more usable within LinkedIn, and he brought in and opened up, big time, different applications. So we haven't talked about that either, but like I mentioned, a lot of my clients are lawyers, so they have this fantastic new application called Legal Updates by JD Supra, which is fantastic. In case I didn't mention that it was fantastic.
It's fantastic.
I love it. Another one, which is not as fantastic, but it's great for our creatives, our cultural creatives, is there's a creative portfolio now, which is a whole other website or a whole other social media site in itself. So it's kind of bulky, but you can upload your portfolio. So if you're a creative, you have a lot more opportunity than you ever had before to share your work. And so let me give you another ninja trick here. Create your profile first in a Word document because then you can repurpose your LinkedIn profile in other places. Like if you go on to Cervana or Creative Portfolio or Biznic or any of the other social media sites I'm on or Facebook, you'll notice that my profile reads the same because I've just taken that information that I created for LinkedIn and popped it in, cut and pasted it in. So.
Yeah, that consistency
is a trick that will save you hours of time.
Yeah, and it seems like the consistency across those platforms is good if somebody is really checking you out.
Yeah,
and they see that you're beating the same drum in all of these different places. It starts to build that know-like trust element of this person is who they say they are.
And you edited it up a little bit. Like I do, I edited up my Facebook profile a little bit to make it a little friendlier, and my Cervana a little bit more because I'm focusing on entrepreneurs, and my JD Super one a little bit because I'm focusing more on lawyers. But the bones of the profile are taken straight from LinkedIn.
Yeah, and one thing we talked about in that first episode was about the culture of each of these social media outlets. And so what I'm hearing is, you know, to take advantage, you know, to be sensitive to that culture in terms of, you know, reflect a little bit about what's the tone. And so Facebook is a little more casual than LinkedIn. And so take that, those bare bones and make sure they're consistent and, you know, tweak the tone and be while still being authentic.
Exactly.
But match the culture of where you're networking.
You know, and since we're talking about that, one of the applications I love / hate is the new tweet application, tweets on LinkedIn, which allows you to pull your Twitter updates into LinkedIn and post to Twitter from LinkedIn. Now, the posting from to, I'm okay. It is driving me nuts that people are pulling all their tweets into their LinkedIn network stream, because it's such a different culture. You should only be updating once a day at that much, and it should all be business related, either your own business or, you know, if you find a website you like, you can share that. But this pulling in every single tweet. So if you do use that tweet application, which I think is a good one, do choose the option that only shares tweets with the word hashtag in within the tweet. Now, those of you on who are not on Twitter and don't know what I just said, don't worry about it. Those of you are on Twitter, hashtag in, and you can share that tweet within LinkedIn. Or use TweetDeck or Hootsuite or Objective Marketer or one of those.
Yeah, because I know I pull my tweets in, so I might be one of those offenders because I wasn't aware of that hashtag in, but that makes total sense. So
that's the
filter.
But understand, I tweet an average of, I think, 50 or 60 times a day.
Mm.
So,
yeah, there's a lot of
traffic. I am not, so that's not average. But so if you only tweet once a day and it's all business related, then don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But if you are more prolific, then just make sure you.
Yeah, you're very chatty.
Put the filters on.
Yeah. Well, a question that came up as you were speaking was about keeping your profile updated, and how much does that help when someone is searching for you? So say I go on there and I form my profile and I do all of the keywords and everything, but I don't revisit it for maybe 2 months. Does that drop me down in searches?
No, that's a good question. The two things that make you more visible, A, the size of your network, B, A, how many keywords you have in your profile, and then B, the size of your network. So what will happen, though, is more people are finding this out. They, too, are understanding they need to put keywords. So I actually have to go in there almost every day and add more keywords and more keywords and find more places to put more keywords. So what you should do is just go up, you know, open up LinkedIn, and where the search says, it should say people, there's a little drop-down box in the search field that says people, jobs, companies, answers, inbox, groups. Go to people and type in your keyword. You know, I'll just go check mine now. So social media strategist. So check your email or check your keywords and see if you show up on the first page. And if you don't, add a few more in there. Oops, I'm not on the first page again, so I'm going to have to go and put social media strategist in there a few more times.
Does that mean maybe somebody else has put it in there more?
Yes, that means that someone else has put that in there more, exactly.
Okay. Wow, that's helpful. Because I think of Google and looking for fresh content. And so it sounds like with LinkedIn, the keywords are more important. And keeping those keywords, it sounds like staying on top of having a good number of them and knowing where you stand is really more important than necessarily going in and updating your profile every week just to get that juice. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's another time saver piece then, too. Absolutely. So just because we just have a few more minutes, I'm wondering if you could give us just a couple of quick tips about, especially maybe for introverts, on how they can leverage LinkedIn to make meaningful relationships with other people.
Well, I think for the introvert, it's really use it as a research tool first. You know, use it, in social media we call it lurking. You know, in real life it's called stalking. In social media it's called lurking. And so lurk on the profiles of people that you want to build a relationship with. Learn as much as you can. Do your research with them. That will give you more of a comfort zone before you actually reach out and you know, email them or phone them. And if while you're lurking on them, you notice that they're also that they're in groups and they're having discussions in groups, then you can begin to build your relationship with them just by commenting on, you know, something they've said in a group, or commenting on their status, or commenting on their update. And so that way you get a little top of mind awareness, a little familiarity. And so when it's time to reach out and say, hey, did you know about this? You know, they're more receptive to it. And so for the introvert, it's a super research tool, and it's a super way of kind of warming up a lead, which is just, let's face it, more comfortable for all of us. And for the introvert, this is, you know, I'm so guilty of this. I don't make the effort to reach out as much as I should. I forget that I'm also my sales and marketing team. And so do use LinkedIn to find your ideal client, to connect with your ideal client, and then reach out to them. And, of course, the key to successful communication within social media is authenticity and transparency. So you do want to be clear that, you know, you are interested in a potential partnership or client relationship, but also that you have some information for them to share. So, or that you have some information to share with them that might be useful for them. I mean, if you go to my website, anything you need to learn about LinkedIn is there. Or you can buy my $97 video, you know. And so the video is just for people who don't want to read and need a little bit more help, or you can hire me. And so the same thing for you as an entrepreneur. What can you give away that will entice people enough that they say, okay, you know, let me just hire you to do this instead. Let me just buy your product, which will help me do this instead. Because I think for the successful an entrepreneur to be successful on social media and on LinkedIn in particular, you essentially need to give away everything that you would sell. But let's face it, we don't have enough time anymore. A lot of us have more money than time. And quite frankly, this do-it-yourself thing is getting old. And I'm mature enough now in my business that I pay people to do what, yes, I could do myself if I had to and if I had all that extra time to learn how to do it. But I'd rather pay you to do it for me. And so thank you for offering to give me the information for free, but I'm just going to pay you to do it for me. And that's basically what you want. That's what you want to do with your potential clients. Give them what they need and then offer them an easier solution.
I appreciate how you've put that, because I think it might just be me, but I think introverts, this might be a shared trait among some, especially entrepreneurs, and especially in the beginning, we want to do it all ourselves.
And oh, yeah.
Part of it's because, you know, we want to just have that control or independence or freedom, and it's also, if I start to bring other people into the equation, it starts to get more complicated, and it could potentially drain my energy.
Yes.
And so,
and we have more time than money.
Most of us have more
time than money. But remember, that's us. That's not
that's
our
us.
Clients.
Exactly. That's what I
our
really appreciate.
Might have more time. Yeah. Yeah. And we have to remember it's benefits, not features. It's where is our client living, and what do they need?
Yeah. Yep, and remember, their needs are different than ours, the way they
exactly.
work.
Exactly.
Yes, so that's a wonderful point that you just brought up. Thank you for that. So we got a little bonus there beyond LinkedIn. We got a little bit of extra sales advice, so thank you. So Vivica, you've shared, true to your word, you know, offered a lot of information that people are going to be able to take advantage of. And if they wanted to get more information or hire you or, you know, engage with you in some way, how can they learn more about you and your services?
So my website's www.linkedintobusiness.com. And if you're one of those people with more time than money, or you'd love to learn how to do things yourself, there's enough information on that website for you to become very, very, you know, very, very successful on social media as a marketer or as an entrepreneur. If you need more hand-holding, I've got various products for sale on there, so, you know, please feel free. I'd be more than happy to sell it to you. If you prefer a more hands-on voice-to-voice type thing, I'm available for consulting and to contact me. My email address is vivekavr@gmail.com. That's Vivica, VR@gmail.com, or I'm at LinkedIn Expert on LinkedIn. I'm at LinkedIn Expert on Twitter, and, you know, DM me or just at reply me. I'm happy. That's probably the best way to get in touch with me, quite frankly. I'm linkedin.com/in/LinkedIn Expert on LinkedIn, or you could, you know, find me by my name, Vivica Von Rosen on LinkedIn. So any of those methods, I check my email and Twitter and LinkedIn every day. Facebook, not so much.
That's the time suck.
It is. Only when my iPhone dings at me that I need to respond to something. I go on Facebook.
Oh. Well, thank you so much, Vivica. This has been amazingly helpful, and at least for me, and I'm hoping for my listeners. And we're able to touch on some things we just didn't get to go into depth about. So I'm so glad that your website has some more free resources, and certainly you are a living resource. So so thank you so much for this wonderful information.
It's a pleasure, and yeah, anytime.
Thank you. This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. A very special thank you to Vivica Von Rosen for joining us for the two parts of our podcast series on LinkedIn. Thanks to you for spending this time with us. Join us each week for insights, information, and inspiration for introverts who know that success is an inside job. If you'd like to learn more, please visit theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You can also find me, along with more than 1,100 introvert entrepreneurs, on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.